Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I am Lee Cantor, and I am joined in studio with Mr. Stone Payton. How you doing, son?
I am doing well, man. Getting very excited. Today is the day that I get to run out to Alpharetta and pick up my book.
Your book. Yeah. A re-release, right?
The re-release. You know, I wrote it 10 years ago. I was too lazy to write another one. And just like last time, we've self-published, but I get to go out and pick it up. And the reason we're doing it now is we have a client that is using the book in their leadership development program. They have for like 10 years. And so they ordered a bunch of them. But I'm very excited to see the new book because I think printing quality and all that kind of stuff
has improved.
I don't know if the writing's improved. Actually, you know, our guy that hosts right here right now, Dr. Tim Morrison.
Right, he helped.
I handed it to him and I said, please, baby, please. And he sort of cleaned it up a little bit. We got a little bit of updated information in there. So, yeah, very exciting day for me.
Cool. Big day.
I'm jazzed.
And what kind of show do we got today?
We have a room full of folks, and we may have one straggler because it seems like we always have one that straggles in late. So we'll see what happens with that. And a little bit later in the program, we're going to hear from an Esquire Heath. And we'll get a chance to visit with him. Didn't you say Esquire when you talk to a lawyer? Is that the right term?
That's the way they prefer it.
All right, right. So we'll get a chance to visit with him. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, we have the pleasure of introducing two return guests, no strangers, to the Business Radio X family. And they are associated with the TEDx folks, and they are the TEDx Peachtree folks. Welcome back to the show, Al Myers and Jackie Chu.
Thank you for having us.
Glad to be here.
Well, we are delighted to have you. And we had, I don't know if we had any positive impact whatsoever, but boy, did we have a good time out there at the zoo doing the TEDx Peachtree event a couple of months ago. That was a blast.
We loved having you there.
And so let's let our listeners, for the one or two people in the Metro Atlanta area that don't know about TEDx Peachtree or maybe didn't attend, let's give a little overview about what that event was all about and what we can expect going forward with TEDx Peachtree.
So TEDx Peachtree is an independently organized TED event, you know, about the big TED conference, Ideas Worth Spreading. So TEDx Peachtree is Atlanta's version, where we bring together a community of passionate people who want to see what the power of ideas can do for making meaningful social impact.
Right, and TED is technology, entertainment, and design, right?
Right, and so we had our 2011 event at the zoo, and the theme was breakthrough, and it was really an amazing experience. I mean, it is so important for me to say, guys, that, you know, our organization, our brand continues to gain momentum in the Atlanta community. I mean, we went from a ragtag group of folks 3 years ago to pull this off to now, you know.
It's a well-oiled machine now.
It is
right
very well-oiled. And I mean, year three, we went to, you know, an artificially capped 250 people. We had a 2.5 times oversubscription where people were banging at the door hoping to get in. And 85% of our attendees told us that the event was either very good or brilliant. So every year, the pressure's on, and we continue to over-deliver.
And they have a black carpet with a great big red X in it.
Yeah, can we use that?
Can we use that the other 11 months?
You know, we've had a lot of people asking for that carpet.
You know, we are in our sponsorship drive right now, so I'm thinking we could probably work something out.
Oh, that's great. And so plans already in the work for next year's TEDx Peachtree? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what I'd also say, because I think it's important for everybody to know how much buzz and how big this is getting. You know, our brand is getting global reach. The other thing what I would say is Franz DeWall, one of our speakers, was actually selected for his talk to be broadcast through email to the global TED community, which is a really, really big deal. They don't pick that many. And then, of course, the other thing, as we all know from years before, Dr. Paul Wolpe, who came to our event this year, who's a bot that runs the Center for Ethics at Embry, his talk was one of the 1% of TEDx talks. 10,000 of them have come out in 3 years. One of his talks was selected as a TED talk, and it has now gotten hundreds of thousands of views on YouTube, on the TED website.
Can you talk just a bit to define, like, what's the difference between TED and TEDx? You
know? Sure, I'll take that. So the TED is an annual conference that happens in California. It's about 26 years old now. And it is an invitation-only event, much like ours. It is, there is a fee if you are invited, there is a fee to attend, including all the travel and expenses that go with going to a conference. And it's a sizable investment. TEDx, on the other hand, is TED's way of essentially empowering the TED alum, folks who had been to TED before, to create a similar sort of experience where you're basically in a room full of people who are sharing ideas, who are they're people who are thinkers, they're doers, they're type A's, and they're all in there to do different things that will make social impact in their communities.
Yeah.
So the difference is TEDx's are independently organized by folks like Al and I. So Al was Al's a TEDster, which is what they call TED alum.
I like it.
And only a TEDster is allowed to apply for a license.
Uh-huh. Well, for a big license. If you want the big license, then you need to be a TED alum. That's how they control the brand.
But that's how you rolled, you know? Go yeah. big or go home, right?
Absolutely.
That's how Al rolled.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other thing that I would say about how big our brand has gotten global reach, though, is that, you know, for three straight years, our webcasts, we have a live webcast, it has been viewed in 5 continents, which is really
stunning.
So you
have 2
stunning. To go. Well, Antarctica. They're working on a TEDx Antarctica right now. There is a movement for that.
I can't begin to imagine what goes into organizing an event like this. Speak to us a little bit, if you will. How do you put a group of, volunteers, right? We're not writing
right,
checks.
Right, this is all volunteer organization.
Walk us through. How in the world did you pull it off?
Okay, we're really lucky in that, you know, the mothership, TED, has an amazing brand recognition in the community worldwide. It's amazing. So we do have, we're lucky that way, and TED had been making the TED Talks, so they're the speakers who speak at TED conferences give TED Talks, 18 minutes, that's it. They've been making these talks available for free on TED.com for a long time. So they've built up a real following in all over the country and all over the world. So we have volunteers who come to us that way. We also have, and then, you know, those of us who are the original crew, the ragtag original crew from 2009, we can't seem to stop talking about TEDx Peachtree. So, you know, our friends and family tend to get drawn in. They kind of get sucked into the whole process. So essentially, it's a 10-month planning cycle, and we go dark for 2 months. So it is, for all intents and purposes, a labor of love. It is a... It's my other day job, as
they come
call
see
it.
Us in a dark month.
That's
did you get that message? we're dark month people.
Oh, no. We are not dark right now. We are actively planning.
But, I mean, we have a great group of volunteers. I mean, like, Jackie came in for me. I started this thing, as you know, it was an idea. I wanted to bring this experience to Atlanta, and I am blessed beyond imagination that we have such a wonderful team of passionate volunteers, where now Jackie, who has been with us since 2009, is now officially, you know, co-organizer of TEDx Peachtree. And she is going to be going to Big TED to represent TEDx Peachtree in a few weeks.
Oh, and tell us a little bit about Big TED. Where's that happening, and what do you expect to see when you get there?
So TED has gotten so big, the demand has become so overwhelming, that they actually created a TED Active location, which is in Palm Springs. Shucks, I get to go to Palm Springs.
Somebody's got to do it. You
horrible.
Know?
at the end of February, I get to go to Palm Springs. The TED is actually at Long Beach. It happens there every year. And then they have a satellite version called TED Active. Same thing, live stream of whatever's going on in Long Beach happening. It's live streaming to Palm Springs the same time. And that's what I'm going to.
And, you know, I was saying, you know, we empower our volunteers, and the more they do, they can do whatever they want. They if they deliver, they can continue to gain and do more stuff in our organization. We have our gal in our organization who's been with us since 2010, Chandra Farley, who runs our venue management stuff. There's another brand new TEDx event going on in April called TEDx Summit, where they're bringing together, it's like a best practices, all the TEDx organizers, 3,000 of them, events that have happened in 3 years. She is representing TEDx Peachtree, and they're giving these folks an all-expense-paid trip to Qatar for a week.
Wow.
So how cool is that?
That's amazing.
I like the way these guys roll, don't you?
That's it.
So if someone wanted to speak at a TEDx event. This is a pretty arduous process. You don't just take anybody.
It's actually not an arduous process. Okay. So we try and make it as frictionless as possible.
But it's highly selective. It's not just anybody who applies gets to speak.
Correct. Now, I said the application process is easy. I didn't say getting in is easy, because we need to respect the integrity of our attendees and ensure that the content that's delivered is of the quality that they have come to expect.
Not just any old clown with a self-published book can get to speak at a TEDx.
So a couple of ground rules. To apply to nominate yourself, you can nominate yourself to speak. And the nomination form is available online, TEDxPeachtree.com. It's right there on the homepage.
You can nominate somebody else too.
You can nominate someone else. Our theme this year, for those of you listening out there interested in taking a shot at this, is transcend. So it's every year we have a theme. Last year was breakthrough. The year before that was shift. This year is transcend. So it's the idea of someone, something, some organization, some effort rising above the clutter, the noise, the status quo, going beyond, if you would, or overcoming some insurmountable odds. That's the definition of transcend. So we're looking for talks that have ideas, that have that transcend concept in their topic.
Right. And then, can you stop nominating and then you guys go into the selecting mode?
This is a rolling process. Uh-huh. So the planning team meets every month.
Right.
Once a month. And we sit and we deliberate over the nominations that come in.
Right.
So essentially the person comes in to our site, fills out the form. It's 5 very easy questions.
Right.
And, essentially, we would get it. We meet that once a month. We go through it. We'll debate it.
Right.
Some of them, we would basically say, we need to consider this.
Right.
And then some of them, we go, well, this is just not going to work. So a couple of ground rules is, unlike many other conferences, our speakers cannot talk about any product, service, or any kind of commercial idea, concept.
Right.
They can't even really talk about their they can't talk about their nonprofit.
No political, religious agendas.
So it needs to be about an idea we're sharing that could change the world.
Right.
Or an invention. So we do look for inventors as well. So inventors out there, if you're listening, you got something really cool that's going to like change the world or change certain parts of the world. You know, we want to hear from you.
And then so this rolling thing, you're vetting constantly, but at some point there's a deadline where you're going to pick. How many people do you pick? Like 10?
Nine. We finalize in June. So in June, our speaker roster is finalized. On August 1, we open the conference up for applications to attend. So once again, I said earlier, this is an invitation-only conference. It is free for all attendees, 100% free. But folks have to apply to attend.
And the other thing I would say about this year's event is that what we are really trying to do, and a lot of this is testament to, you know, Jackie's tireless efforts with what we did last year, we had a lot of people that we had to turn away because, which is a good problem to have. I mean, we have some demand, right? And our brand is building. Well, this year, we really are going to try to go for the Gusto. We're going for the Lexus this year. We really are going to try to open it up to hopefully 400 people.
Well, and you had that overflow room, and you still, I mean, it was just absolutely packed. I absolutely love the venue. Will you go back to the same venue, or will you be looking for a different venue?
Is that too small?
With the capacity that we're thinking of, which is what Al said, we ideally want to be able to have a place that would be able to host 400 people.
Like right. Lee's house. He has a huge backyard.
My basement. We'll bring everybody to my basement.
Yeah, we're there.
We're there. So we're looking at some other venues. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that really struck me when I attended this, and of course I worked at some, you know, because we did the remote broadcast there, and it was a lot of fun. But in watching the speakers and then in interviewing the speakers afterwards, it's a very eclectic group. Now, all of them seem to have IQs off the chart, but it wasn't just your straight business conference set of people. There was a poet, a young kid, a poet, absolutely brilliant. And I thoroughly enjoyed listening to it, conducting that interview, but I loved his talk.
Daniel Weingarten is 19, and he is phenomenal. He's going to be one to watch.
You know, I like to say, you know, as a quick aside, you know, Jackie knows, this is the time of year where, you know, we're getting the theme, and I'm always worried, are we going to get the speakers we want? Are we going to be able to do this? And then, like, you know, a few weeks before the event, I get all crazy again because I'm like, okay, we've got our speakers. Are they going to deliver the way they're supposed to?
Right.
And I found Daniel. I literally found him at an Emory presentation. Soledad O'Brien spoke at a State of Race presentation, and he did this poem. I made a beeline to him afterwards and said, Daniel, let me tell you about TEDx Peachtree. And we got him, and he nailed it. And it was a lot of pressure for a 19-year-old to end the day.
That's what blew my mind. The kid's 19 years old. He comes on and does our interview before he's going on. He's like the next guy on, and he is the last speaker. And for anybody out there who's ever done professional speaking, that last talk, buddy, you got to be on top of your game if you're going to close out a conference. And he absolutely nailed it. Yeah. That was great.
And I will tell you, the thing that I am most blessed about, as I was saying earlier, we have such a great team. But the fact that we have been able to continue to meet and exceed expectations that keep rising each year. You know, we talked about the high audience ratings. I had several sponsors and speakers came up to us and said, you guys took it to a whole new level this year. And we didn't even mention the fact that we had a woman come drive all the way from New Orleans to see our event, and she loved it. She loved it, and she said it was worth every minute. So, you know, it's a great team that the team is putting a great product out there.
So I'm going to give a shout out to Erica Napolitano, who is a columnist for Entrepreneur Magazine, Redhead Writing is her handle on Twitter, and she came out from Boulder, so she's based out in Boulder. She came out to see the.
You should get a special
too.
Prize, like if you're the furthest far out. I got to believe, just in watching and listening to you guys talk about this, and I can just feel the enthusiasm and the passion for what you're doing. That in so many ways, doing the TEDx Peachtree thing is its own reward. But you guys have day jobs. Speak to if and how doing this has impacted your professional career. Could you do that a little bit?
Well, it has taken a lot of time, especially early on. You know, I actually had a startup that in 2008 that kind of had to crater when the economy cratered. So I had a little time on my hands to do this. But I believed in TED, and I when you believe in something, you make the sacrifices. I think that's really the important point here, is that people believe in this, and it gives you the courage to act on your ideas. And, you know, when you see a TED conference, it's a catharsis. Even TEDx Peachtree, which is just a small microcosm of the catharsis you feel when you spend 4 days at TED, there's something about this conference that you know, I'm sure that you've all been in instances where, you know, you can't explain it to somebody. You just have to experience it for yourself. It's like being a father for the first time.
Right.
You know, it's some respects like that. So,
or your first low country boil.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. You got
to
be there.
I'll have to try your little country boil there.
Way to keep it real.
Absolutely.
That's transcendent.
Yes, it is. Sure is. So we love doing it, Stone, and you make the time when you believe in something.
Yeah, and Jackie, I know you're very successful in your arena. What impact, if any, has this had in your professional career?
Well, I think, I believe in supporting the community, and I believe in giving back. I also believe in supporting innovation. So TEDx Peachtree actually lets me do all three in one nice, neat bundle. So for me, it's an extension of who I am in terms of my values. It's a fantastic, selfishly, it's a fantastic opportunity to meet really smart people that I would never get to meet, and, you know, who wouldn't want to have a conversation with me, and they're forced to have a conversation with me because I'm one of the organizers. It's awesome.
So it's helped your brand, right?
It has, you know, but Al would tell you that I'm not a really, I'm more, so I was in theater when I was a kid. And all through college.
I would have never guessed that.
I was never on stage. And that's the part. I never wanted to be on stage. I'm more the stage manager, set maker kind of a chick. That's me.
So you're the woman behind the the scenes a little bit?
Yeah, I like pulling the strings.
But she's going to be out there a little bit this year, though, guys.
I know. Elle keeps pushing me out there, and I keep going, no.
It's like the mob. Just when you think you're out, they pull you back in.
So during this 10-month cycle, it's my understanding that we're going to partner with you guys, and we're going to maybe interview some of the speakers that you select, ideally interview some of your volunteer staff. Once you get your venues selected, maybe we'll talk with them. And if your major sponsors, so we're going to get a chance to continue this conversation
right,
all year long,
year.
I think, right? And in the meantime, before we let you go for today's broadcast, let's make sure that our listeners know where to check in so they can continue to get up-to-date information on this thing.
Right, okay. If they want to be a speaker or when the time's right and if they want to attend.
Okay.
Or sponsor.
Or sponsor. Yeah. Did we mention sponsor?
Yes. Sponsor opportunities are available.
And we are so grateful to Business Radio X for being a sponsor. So the place to go for all that information is www.tedxpeachtree.com.
Right.
And the link to the nomination form, to the sponsorship inquiry, and to the Volunteer Now form is all on the homepage.
So you're looking for volunteers, you're looking for sponsors and speakers.
That is correct, sir.
And then in a little bit, you'll be looking for attendees.
Yes.
And historically, that hasn't been a problem.
Apparently not.
No.
Not when you can do applications. I mean, that absolutely rocks. Well, it has been an absolute delight having you guys back in the studio. Looking forward to continuing the conversation over the next 10 months. Hang out with us for a little bit while we visit with our next guest. Can
absolutely.
You guys do that?
Thanks for having
absolutely.
Us,
Tim. Thanks for having
yes,
us.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Well, next up on Atlanta Business Radio, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce the Grand Poobah, the guy in charge over there at the law offices of William Heath, Mr. Bill Heath. Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, Stone. Thanks, Lee, for having me.
Well, we're glad to have you, but that's kind of a hard act to follow, huh?
Yeah, I was sitting here going, gee, I can get sponsors?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Tell us about your event.
My event? Well, today I am at a business radio meeting.
Yeah, tell us what you guys are doing over in your firm.
Sure. We practice kind of focus on a small to medium business enterprise. So what we do is we deal with the individual and basically every aspect of their living environment as far as it impacts the law as to the business entry. So you look at primarily your biggest assets generally going to be your real estate holdings. And so we handle a lot of real estate transactions, everything from residential to commercial, bringing it all the way across the board throughout the retirement cycle. You also have the wills, trust, and estates issues that you have as we speak of the retirement cycles. As the population gets older, you've got a lot of questions people have. What do I do with my parents? Better yet, how do I set up for myself? I have children. What do I need to do to set for them? And then the final piece is in the middle, you've got your business cycle. And we focus on small to medium-sized businesses through the incorporation, mergers, acquisitions phase. You know, when you get to be a big, huge event like TEDx, you might have to go somebody a little bit bigger and get the big guys from outside. But for most small businesses, we teach you how to set up your business, how to run your business more effectively, and most importantly, how to protect yourself from any legal complications that may occur.
So what are some of the just fall-down, crazy mistakes you see over and over and over, and you just roll your eyes to yourself? I mean, you're socially skilled enough not to do it while the client's sitting there, but like you're thinking to yourself, here we go again. These boneheads are making the same mistake I see every time somebody walks in my office. What are one or two of those kind of mistakes that a lot of people just tend to make, particularly on the business side?
On the business side, especially with small businesses, the biggest mistake is they dip into the company checkbook. And that's where
Why
you get
Why are you
in
looking
trouble.
At me when you say that?
Because Lee's on my left side, and I have to turn all the way around from the microphone to get to him. As the TEDx people frequently, very fast text. Oh, jeez.
So what's the downside in doing that? I mean, we're a small business here. I mean, what's the downside of that?
Well, in law, there's a theory called the corporate veil. And basically, when you start a business, you start it as its own separate little person. And so it's out there. It's doing its thing. And as long as the business is doing its thing, if the business does something bad, most of the implications fall on the business. However, once you start treating the company checkbook like your checkbook, you basically said, hey, this isn't really a separate person. This is just me going by another name. And at that point, you've opened yourself up to all the levels of liability. You might not as well have a corporation at all. Basically, you just put a new name on the checkbook.
Oh, really? So that is a major, major mistake.
That's
I guess
no-no.
That people don't realize that they have now kind of pierced that corporate veil.
Yeah, and once you've done that, the game's over. A skilled litigator will find that bank records are the easiest things in the world to trace.
Uh-huh.
And money in, money out is the fastest way to find yourself in a heap of trouble.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you do some work in the real estate. How is the Atlanta real estate looking to you?
Actually, the market's rebounding, amazingly enough. If you look on the billboards as you're driving up and down the interstates, you're going to see that the number of houses...
Yeah, that's what I go by.
...started going down and down
well,
and down.
It was like over 100,000 for a while, right? It was like 120.
Yeah, it was
then
brutal.
Then it was like 60.
I like that billboard where it says, if you lived here, you would be home. You know, and you're sitting in traffic. I think that's pretty clever.
Yeah, well, a couple things have happened. One, a lot of people took their homes off the market. And they said, you know what? We're going to wait for the market to rebound a little bit. There was a huge lending catastrophe, as we're well aware of. And what has happened is the housing market overheated. And once it overheated, once it cooled down, it contracted and left a lot of people hanging out farther than they needed to be. So as people have pulled their homes off the market, a bunch of foreclosures have occurred. As you know, Atlanta is a very high foreclosure area. And
is
those
that a
houses,
good thing?
It's a good thing. It's the fastest way. It's ripping the Band-Aid. At some point, the market has to correct itself. And the only way to do that is to get excess inventory off the market.
Is it out yet? Have we?
Oh, no.
There's still some hanging around?
Yeah, it's still some hanging around. We've had a couple of instances where there have been moratoriums on the foreclosure process throughout. Bank of America had some, a couple of law firms, which I won't name in town, had some issues. And so,
what are their initials?
Initials is I don't want them to call me. you know, there's been some issues, and it's slowed it down a little bit, which is actually okay, because you didn't want to dump all the inventory on the market at one time anyway. Supply and demand dictates if you dump it all out there, the prices are going to bottom out.
Right.
Well, what we're finding now is as the market has started to kind of mellow itself out and level out, housing prices, median housing prices are starting to rise. They're starting to come back up.
Uh-huh.
And interest rates are still stupidly low. So the entrance for barrier entrance really is really, really small. Just yesterday, I closed a 15-year fixed rate note at 2.75% fixed.
Wow.
That's below, that's inflation. You've got free money. Congratulations.
So if you have some money, there's a, this is a good opportunity then.
Oh, it's an incredible opportunity, especially in the investment arena. I mean, you know, obviously there's always risk with being the landlord, but housing is great. And if you have a house and you want, and you decided, hey, I really wanted a bigger house, now's a great time to go get one.
Right.
You will take a hit on what you think yours is worth, but you're taking probably a better position on the bigger house. So if you look at dollars to dollars, you're probably in a much better situation.
You remember that speaker that we had on, and his phrase, I just absolutely loved it. He said, the rich are reloading right now. Oh, that was a great phrase. And it speaks to that. I mean, they really can, if you've got some disposable income, you can really put it to work right now in a terrific way, can't you?
I mean, cash is king right now. Loans are impossible. The lending standards went from anybody with a pulse, and the pulse was optional for some lenders, and then, you know, could get whatever they wanted. You know, how much do you think you're going to make? Well, I think I'm going to make a million. Perfect. Sounds good. You know, and now it's like, well, how much do you make? Well, I make a million. Well, we really think you make 10 grand. Sorry. You know, you have to prove it in triplicate with DNA evidence. But, you know, now with the lending schedule so tight, if you have available cash flow,
right,
you have the ability either to put the large sums down or to buy cash outright at ridiculously low pricing. And so what that allows you to do is reposition yourself in the market. And again, it's anytime a market goes hard,
right,
where we get into a real, you know, just bear territory, the people with the cash are the people who make the money.
Right. Now, so we've talked about housing a little bit, and now we've talked about some of the business corporation stuff. What are the other kind of things that are out there that if I'm a business owner, I got to be paying attention to? Like you mentioned parents, and I know that a lot of people our age, that's becoming an issue. Our parents are getting older, and then there's a lot of stuff that you have to deal with, kind of attorneys have to deal with because of their assets and, you know, are they going to go to an assisted living? And there's a lot of parent issues that kids didn't probably think they were going to have to deal with.
Yes. Well, the most important thing, especially, you know, as, you know, the baby boomers start to age out is to be proactive.
Right.
And that's such a tough conversation to have. You know, it's like, you know, I'm not trying to put you in the dirt, but, you know, we do need to have this talk.
Well, let's go ahead and get your assets in my name.
Powers of attorney. You know, those important things.
You know, that's not actually the assets. Your name's not actually the worst idea ever.
You should have seen me trying to have that conversation with my dad. It didn't go all that well.
My folks said something about we sent you to college and you're done. But, no, I mean, you do, if nothing else, know where everything is. It's one of the biggest planning tools.
Right.
A will is important if they have significant assets or if they have real property. If nothing else, it's peace of mind that they're able to tell their kids, especially if there's more than one, you know, hey, this is how I want this thing to go down.
Sure.
This is my wishes. And that way, that lessens the opportunity for a fight.
So you think everybody should have a will?
I think everyone should have a will.
At what age?
Enough, I think the first time you have a kid, to be honest with you.
So that's the trigger?
That's the trigger, because in your will, you can also set up who your preferences are in the event that both parents pass, you get hit by a train or a bus, both pass. Who is your idea of who you want to have the child?
Like, say you don't have a will and that happens, then who decides that?
A judge. Basically, any
family
member.
That doesn't know you. That doesn't, that
really?
Judge does, yeah.
Anybody can apply for the kids. It doesn't have to be a family member.
Wow. Anybody can apply?
Yeah.
To Craigslist?
Pretty much, yeah. You know, you just fill out the forms and send it in. I mean, you apply, the judge signs off on it after the judge reviews it, and then there you go. All of a sudden, now you're the guardian of a kid. You
know?
And that's scary for a lot of parents with small kids. You know, and it should be.
There's a book series that does that my kids read. It's like a series of unfortunate events. Lemony Snicket. That's exactly some evil uncle applies.
He gets the kid.
He gets the deal. But there's that other kind of will too, like what to do if I'm in really bad shape, I'm in a coma or whatever. To me, that's every bit as important to me personally as the other kind. Yeah.
Sure. With our estate planning, we actually do kind of a 3-part process. You have the will we've been discussing. You're the last will and testament, as everyone really knows about it. And that's what happens after I go. The one you're talking about used to be called the living will. Actually, Georgia has set it up now by statute. You can get this online. You don't actually even have to see an attorney for it. And it's called the Georgia Healthcare Directive. And what it does is it lets you set out all the events of what happens. Who do you want to make the decisions in the event something happens to you? And in the event that you go terminally ill or you go into a permanent vegetative state, think Terry Schiavo.
That's the case that scared the hell out of me, just to be perfectly honest with you. That really got my attention.
Well, on that section, you kind of get an a la carte, you know, and you can say, hey, you know, leave it all on, turn it all off, or I want something in the middle. A lot of my clients say, listen, give me pain medication, let me go on out the door, you know, but don't turn everything on. Why wreck what I put back for my family to keep me alive if I've already checked out? Again, that's a personal decision. And by putting it down on there with the form, with the two witnesses, if you keep a copy, if you have an attorney, you make sure your attorney keeps a copy and whoever your family representative is has a copy. Then if that, heaven forbid, it ever occurred, then when you give it over to the doctor, they've got it there. Everyone's aware of it. It's nothing new. It's much less likely to have somebody.
Well, I would think it would, aside from you getting what you want, I think you're probably removing a tremendous amount of emotional strain from your family. You know, that, look, this is what he wanted. It's right here in black and white, and he went to the trouble of writing it down and committing it to paper. To me, that just seems terribly important, this piece of paper.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, you can't underestimate the amount of strain that gets put on a family in one of these events. I've had those where I get the call from the hospital. Hey, you know, Bob is in real trouble. Bob's not going to make it. What do we do? And, you know, it's so hard. I mean,
they're looking to you to make that call?
Well
here,
they
open
want us
this
to
file.
See. pretty much. I mean, it's, you know, the nice part about what I do is you get to build up family relationships and relationships with your clients over the years. And that's one of the things that we stress. It's not just an in and out the door thing, you know. And as they come through, and I've had that call. And what I do is I go, I look it up. I said, well, this is really what he wanted.
You clean up any outstanding invoice issues, and then you come to the hospital and consult the family. We understand.
Well, the lawyer's rule is the baker's rule. You get the dough first, and it solves all those problems to begin with. And then the last piece that you really need is kind of a durable power of attorney situation. Say in the event you go, my classic is a coma. You get in a car wreck and you go into a coma. It may be 6 months, but they know you're going to come out, but they got to keep the brain swelling down, you know, so you come out okay. Well, who makes the decisions? Who cuts your paychecks? Who pays the rent? Who does all these other things? You know, if you're married, obviously your spouse may be on the account, maybe not. And then they could cut the check, but, you know, not so for certain other people. You know, I'm not married. No one's cutting any checks. They don't have any authority without that piece of paper. And it also determines in the interim if there's any other problems, you know, that the judge kind of has some leeway and some guidance as to who you trust to make decisions on your behalf.
We should have a single lawyer show. We could get sponsorship for that, don't you think? Like work with Match.com or what have you. So how do you not market being single? We'll take that. We'll handle that in a different episode. But how do you go to market? Because, you know, in all fairness and candor, you're not the only guy in town. How in the world do you go about getting the word out? And tell us a little bit about your sales and marketing process.
Well, sure. I mean, obviously, you would love to say, shows like this are going to send me millions of dollars tomorrow. But, you know, realistically, you know, it's getting out there.
You don't know for sure it's not.
No, I'm kind of hoping so, actually. I mean, I wasn't kidding, guys. But, I mean, we have I have marketing people that we send out as far as for the real estate side, because you deal with real estate agents and loan officers, and those are the people who really drive business to us.
Right.
The corporate level stuff and the personal stuff is much more word of mouth. It's much more personal. I mean, you're dealing, in most instances, with people's business and
right.
their family.
Well, it sounds like everything you do has a trigger that causes some sort of pain has to happen in order for, I mean, not pain. It doesn't have to be bad pain, but it's like you have a kid. Oh, I got to get a will. You know, like I'm getting a house. I got to get a closing attorney. Like something big in your life.
As soon
is
as you
to
get
happen,
a bruise, you call Bill.
I got to call Bill.
I was thinking life changing events, but if we want to go with the pain, sure. You know, as you add, you know, to that, to the richness of your life, you want to make sure you're able to protect
good.
It.
So you've been in the PR business, sounds like.
Once upon a time, yeah.
So what's the best way for our listeners to reach out and get in touch with you and have a substantive, meaningful conversation from somebody that does know what they're talking about on some of these really important issues?
Sure. Well, you can visit our website, and it gives you some base information, and that's www.wheathlaw.com. So Wheath is Wheathlaw.com. The phone number is 678-904-1444. I would give you the fax number, but really, who's going to fax anything?
No, just your telegram number will be fine. You don't need the fax.
There are still lawyers who use telefacsimile on those. You still see those on the letterheads for the old guys.
All right. Well, that wraps up another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton and our wonderful guests here. We will see you all next time.